Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From the 832, John and Reggie, how many times will D'Amico Ryan say we're close during his press conference? This should be on, you should be able to bet on this, they said. You should be able to get the over-under. If you're going to set that line, John Lopez.
Is he going to still go with that? He did it right after the game.
I mean, he mentioned that. I think he says it because he means it. I don't think he's just saying stuff. I don't know that he'll hit it. Like, he'll hit it a whole bunch,
now,
though.
I'm curious, I don't know how much he means it.
I'm wondering, what is he talking about? Is he talking about close on the offense just close in the games? Because they have been close in games.
I disagree. I think he's just trying to protect things and put the, you know, that little positive spin on things. He can't be. We saw what he did on the sideline with Nick Cayley. He wasn't saying, hey, Nick, we're close, right? I mean, he wasn't doing that.
I didn't bring it back to that, which is a good point. Yeah. I said I was going to, and I didn't. If you're watching this broadcast, if you're watching all of it, and I can't blame you if you say that you weren't, at some point, D'Amico Ryans is seen, like, clearly, like, waving his arm vigorously and clearly shouting something at somebody. I don't know that I can make it out. If you were a lip reader, you might have a better chance than I did of making out what he's yelling, like, about. But at the same time, the TV broadcast seemed to make it seem like, because they cut from Cayley making a play call to D'Amico seemingly doing that. And we have all just kind of taken that as D'Amico was yelling at Cayley. Do you think that he was indeed yelling at Cayley in this moment?
He was absolutely saying something to Cayley. And my favorite part of it was he said something, started to walk away, turned around, and another thing. He turned around and said something else to him.
What do you think he said?
I don't know, and it would be reckless to just speculate that he was
played a reckless speculation sounder.
But I think it's safe to say this: it wasn't good luck. It wasn't, hey, keep it up, we're close.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. Here's the reckless speculation. Yeah. I think a lot of people, and I don't know how reckless this is, but a lot of people were kind of speculating, hey, get up there.
Yes, I'm sure that.
With the motion, like, get up there, get quicker, because it did feel like they were kind of slacking in their time.
I kind of looked at it as like, come on, man, pick up the pace. We got to pick up this pace, man.
Right, right.
Let's go.
I agree with you. If I had to speculate, it would be something along those, what you both said there. But that's why I think when he, you know, right after the game, you know, hey, we're close. It's just a few plays and all this other stuff. I think he's just protecting, whether it's himself or a combination of himself and the offensive coaches, and trying to, you know, put a positive spin and all. But he doesn't say that. It would be reckless of him to say that behind the closed door.
I know we're waiting for D'Amico Ryans to talk on this Monday, the day after the game. But when he talked immediately after the game, he was in a protective mode, right? Like the response that he had to a question about how do you evaluate Nick Cayley right now is we're all in this together, which in some ways is protective, but also not at all, because it does not speak in the affirmative to Nick Cayley, and you see that fire that I think we're interpreting to be at Cayley. I understand why people are like, hey, no, clearly that's what it is. You should just say that. I'm trying to be as fair as I can. The question I have is this anything for you? Like, is this just frustration in a moment, or does this mean anything to you above just, if we're saying that this is D'Amico Ryans directing some level of fire towards Cayley, or just fire in general, does this mean anything to you for the head coach of the Texans?
I think in this case it does, because the frustration level, the expectation, it's all bubbling over for every coach on that sideline, especially D'Amico Ryans. It's one thing when Travis Kelce and Andy Reid mix it up on Sunday Night Football like they did last night. you know, they've been known to do that. That's how they communicate. You know, they have a really strong, good relationship, and they have a history of Super Bowls and winning a bunch of games. This team is like lost right now offensively. So I think it means more in this case that he was, you know, he's popping off at him a little bit.
I think also I'm still trying to figure out if it's something, but I will say that I did find it interesting that D'Amico Ryans, who we know, and the criticism has been like, how much are you involved on the offense? And it's hard for us to get any level of sight on that. We're not there at practices and getting to see what the interaction is. We're definitely not there in meeting rooms or anything like that. This is some level of, okay, we know for certain, assuming that we are correct, that he is speaking to Kaylee in that moment and saying what I think somebody else is imagining they said, which is get your bleep together, right? Some level of insight as to, hey, whatever you're doing, like this is how I want you to do. This is how I need you to get yourself in line as a correcting from a head coach to his subordinate in this place, the offensive coordinator. Because Nick Kaylee, there's clearly some issues with the way that he's been handling this.
Well, this offense is not creative. It's very predictable. It's far too disjointed in terms of, you know, the operation, as D'Amico likes to say. It's a mess. I mean, this offense might be, you know, you can say you're close all you want, and the scoreboard might say it occasionally or a lot as well. But you're not close. This offense is not close to being a successful offense. Everything, and we've mentioned it today, everything that was an issue for 2 weeks that they were going to work on is still an issue.
And it's the little ones. Like I'm sure that for D'Amico, the frustration, if we're interpreting this correctly, makes sense because we are frustrated at it. Like the bigger, more difficult things, I get why you might be like, all right, this is tough. You're going to take time to get there. Operationally, getting up to the line, getting yourself through these things, not having the operational issues that clearly this Texas team had again yesterday, I that would lead me to maybe raise my voice a time or two.
And what are the signs? Like seriously, like this is a serious question. What is one sign on the offensive side of the ball that you think, all right, maybe they're starting to get better?
Woody Marks had Dare Ogunbowale did not have any offensive snaps. Damian Pierce was not even active for this game, right? Like, I think
second straight game.
I think that you can look at those and go, all right, at least they are acknowledging some of the things that we are seeing from the outside. Because there were times, I mean, you could look at all last year when we were trying to, we're like, yo, we're seeing something. Why? What are they doing? Because they continue to operate opposite, right? Damian Pierce getting a whole bunch of runs. Kenyon Green remaining out there on the field. Where we're like, no, we see something. And yeah, we may not be the football people that you are in that building, but we're not stupid. It does feel like at least they're acknowledging some of those things, but I have to be.
But that's not a sign on the field.
That's very small. Yeah.
That's not a sign.
I was going to say, my positive sign is probably just Jalen Noel, maybe. That's individual type deal. Like, I kind of feel a little positive about him, but that ain't helping the offense.
Yeah. No, like what you're saying is accurate. At least they're acknowledging, I'm sorry, Damian Pierce. I'm sorry, you know, Blake Fisher, all this. That doesn't really tell you that, you know, that this team is getting better, you know, on the field.
Well, let's see if this will tell us if the team is getting better. The head coach of the Texans, D'Amico Ryans, at the podium.
D'Amico, is rotating at guard something you guys will continue to do? And why was that something you felt like you needed to do?
Yeah, we did. We rotated the guards in the game on Sunday because we felt like that's what we wanted to do, to give Juice a chance to get in there. And Juice did a really nice job with some of the reps that he was given.
D'Amico, when you say you're close, are you close to turning those close games into wins, or are you close to where you want?
Yeah, what I mean by close, I said we were close in our three games, right? We were there in the fourth quarter, right? We were close to finishing and closing those games out. But there are plays in each game that we've had these first three games that we didn't finish and win the game. So I'm not talking about close as a team, talking about winning the football game. That's what we're here to do. We're here to win football games. We've been in position to win those games, and we have not won the game. So we got to find a way to win the game, right? We got to make the plays in the fourth quarter of the games we've been in. We got to make those plays to put us in position and to just ultimately to win the football game. That's what we're here to do, right? That's what we work tirelessly and hard for, is to win football games. So the games have been close. We've been right there in the games, right? It's, so we just got to find a way to get it done.
We talk about most games, and I think we even talked about it with you last week, most games in the NFL are close, and it comes down to a couple of plays. So is being close encouraging, or is that just kind of a league-wide thing?
It's not encouraging to be close. We want to win games. It's not about being close.
I just that's just stating the facts or stating the obvious of how the three games have played out, where how those games have happened for us. But we're not here to just be close. We're here to win the football game.
That being said, you talk about how close you all are, how you all have been in those games. And even if you would have won those games, do you feel like that still the win would have masked some of the issues that you all may have as far as, looking at the totality of the team?
Oh, we go back. No matter win or loss, we go back and we dissect the film. Right, so see issues, whether you win or you lose. To me, you attack the film the same way every single time. And you attack it to see, first and foremost, how can we be better? Right, no matter what the outcome or the result of the game is, how do you get better? That's what it's about. You know, long season, it's about how do you grow, how do you get better each and every week. And so that's what we'll do every time.
Nico, could you delineate on the fact, just moving in the same vein, close making the proper decision or move, shifting the line or either getting a chip from a tight end, depending on where the pressure might be coming, particularly at a critical point, to probably looking at your route tree and then looking at your spacing on some of your receivers? Because I think, at least from my perspective, I think your receivers got spacing on that interception because it was so close within that. Is that an issue that can be addressed and you have to just deal with moving forward?
Yeah, as we go through the film, we talk about the route distribution, right, the protection. All of those things are things that, we bring up and we look at to see how can we better deploy guys to make sure we're giving ourselves the best chance to have successful plays. So some of that comes with protection, where we have a problem guy, we may need to, put some chips on the edge and make sure we're helping out when we have a issue player like Josh Allen. Hines did a really good job on yesterday. We got to find a way to protect better. When it comes to route distribution, there were some plays it was good. Some plays we can do better of distributing the guys. Some plays we can do better of running the routes the proper way. So it's all of us. It's all inclusive, coaches, players, everybody, just fine-tuning things to make sure we are giving ourselves the best chance.
How do you overall feel about the communication on the back end? I feel like there's times where there's a little bit of miscommunication that can lead to a bigger play in the secondary. How do you just feel overall about the communication that's been going on in the secondary?
Yeah, when you see a big play that happens on our defense, somewhere along the lines, there's a bust in communication. It all starts with communication, and right, it hasn't been as crisp as it needs to be. So we have to play better. On the defensive side, we got to communicate better, and we got to execute the defense better. It's not been great. We see that. We have to make some adjustments there to make sure we get it correct.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That isn't the answer, but why do you feel like the defense hasn't been able to close out games? I understand the offense put a little bit of a strain, but why do you feel like the defense hasn't been able to close out games compared to
we saw in the past?
For us defensively, when I look at this past game, thought we had multiple opportunities to take the ball away. We had one hit us right in the hands. We didn't take it away. We had one in Tampa Bay hit us in the hands. We didn't take it away. We had a couple where we were supposed to be a deep safety. They throw the ball up, and we're not taking the football away. So there are multiple things where we've had opportunities, right, defensively, and we haven't capitalized on those opportunities by being exactly where we're supposed to be, communicating the proper way, tackling the proper way as a unit. The tackling hasn't been up to our standard, and so we have to get that fixed.
Do you feel confident that last year we kind of had similar struggles, or you guys had similar struggles on offense? Do you feel confident now dealing with it that you're in better position to oversee it than you were last year?
For me, right now with our team, like when you go through different – each team, like no matter what year it is, like each team has its own – it's faced with its own adversity and different issues that arise. So for me as the head coach, it's a matter of, hey, different set of problems, different set of challenges, and I'm up for it. Like, that's why I'm here. Like, that's how we'll attack it. We'll get it all corrected, and we'll get this thing going in the right direction.
Is it still different, though?
I don't compare year to year for me. I said this is a different year. 2023, completely different team. 2024, completely different team. We're here. We have different issues here in 2025, but we attack it the right way. We attack it with the right attitude, and we're going to get the thing rolling in the right direction.
What do you do to change? I mean, you know, you've identified the challenges early on, and if you have the same challenges, what do you do to try to chip away at those?
Yeah, you just go through it. You make the necessary adjustments you need to make, right? Whether it's schematically, whether it's personnel, you just make the adjustments that you need to make schematically and see how it improves from week to week. So we'll take a look at where we've been over these first 3 weeks, just take a deep dive and look into it and see, like, how can we, first and foremost, as coaches, it always starts with the coaches, like, how can we put guys in better position? Like, how can we help the players to be in position to get on the winning side of things? So it all starts there with how we plan, how we prep, and how we structure practices throughout this week. And then we cut the players loose and let them go play and let the players go execute and do what they need to do.
What is some of the messaging to, you know, to the team overall, but to some of these young players who haven't been through this type of adversity? Like, you got some players in that locker room that didn't lose three games throughout their whole college career, three games in a row throughout their whole college career. So how do you keep, you know, those younger players motivated to, you know, as the saying goes in the NFL, one game at a time?
Yeah, for sure. You keep guys motivated by understanding storms are going to hit you in life. Like, whether it's, yeah, we do football, but also in real life, like, storms will arise, storms will come in your life. And so, like, when you go through the storm, are you coming out stronger or are you getting ripped apart by the storm, right? And so there are different people who can handle those at the adversity and the storm that comes. It's like, how do you handle it? You got to remain resilient. You got to remain strong through it. And it really tests your character to see who are you truly as a player, as a man. Like, how are you? Who are you? And we'll see that. Like, we'll see how we handle this as individuals. We'll see how we handle this as a team.
The last team to go to start the season 0-3 and still make the playoffs was the 2018 Houston Texans. And, you know, in the midst of that, they had that 9-game winning streak. Is that something that you could see this team doing as far as getting it back on track and ending up like they did?
I did not know that. So thanks for the history there. But anything can happen. Anything can happen. It all starts with us, first and foremost, just playing cleaner, right, and protecting the football. Like, I know we're in position there again, like, to turn the ball over three times, to only take it one time. I don't care who you're playing or when you're playing. It's going to be hard to win that game. We can try to point fingers here or there, this and that. We have to protect the football no matter what it looks like. If we want to see ourselves, you know, start down that track, we got to just make sure we're protecting the football, taking it away when we have our opportunities, and just playing cleaner, finishing the proper way.
talked about the defense before. The general sense is if we take care of our business, we don't care as much about how the offense that we're playing that week operates. Offensively with your team, has some of the mistakes they've made allowed the opposing defense to sort of dictate how things go? And is it just simply cleaning up their own mistakes so that your offense can dictate how?
Yeah, for sure. It's never about the opponent to me, especially when you have the penalties that we have on first down that puts us behind the sticks. Right, that has nothing to do with the opponent dictating anything. It's things that we control, and if we handle that the right way, if we make sure we got a proper hat on the hat in the run game, we make sure we're executing in the passing game, going through our progressions the right way, hitting the receiver, like those are all things we control, not necessarily a defense is dictating to us anything. We just got to control what we control and press forward.
A moment in the fourth quarter where the cameras caught you frustrated and you kind of urging the offense along. Were you hoping for more urgency from the offense at that moment, or what was frustrating?
Who says
moment?
I was urging the offense?
Well, it just looked like you were doing this and
what does that mean? Just because I'm doing this, that does.
And there are some people who saw the words coming out of your mouth, but I'd have wanted to ask you and not assume.
Yeah. No, if you guys saw me animated on the field, that was directed. I think during that snap, we got on the ball, we went tempo, and the refs held our offense from continuing to run their play, and the ref said that we were substituting, which we were not substituting. No one on our sideline got off the sideline or moved, and so they didn't allow us to run our tempo offense. They held the huddle. So that's who I was talking to, the official, right, and making sure that we're able to run our offense the proper way.
So you weren't yelling. Just we don't think you were, but so just to clarify, you weren't yelling that. You weren't yelling at Nikhil, correct?
I just said I was talking to the official. All right. No, I was not yelling at anybody on our sideline, any coaches, any players. I'm too cool for that.
Jamico, quickly on the wrap up, is this something that I know all of y'all send different things into the league office about certain plays? Is this something that you would know going up to the league office about that particular issue? They, you know, holding you back and that y'all not substituting, because is that just part of the overall thing that y'all send up?
Every week, if we have any issues, anything that arise from that standpoint of how the game was managed, we'll go through it with the league office and make sure we talk about that. And really, it's also about talking to the officials for the next game of, you know, things we want to do offensively. If we wanted to do that, just having awareness.
Any update on Stingley?
Yeah, Stingley is still, we're evaluating his oblique. He hurt his oblique in the game, early in the game yesterday, tried to push through it. He couldn't push through it. So we're still evaluating him, probably be day-to-day with where he is.
Coach, I know that you all can control what you control as far as coaches is concerned, as far as players and play on the field. But, you know, from the fan standpoint, they're looking at it and they're saying, you know, this team is 0-3. And, you know, for a lot of them, they don't feel like there is no coming back from that. What is, you know, something that you can say to the fans to – you know, encourage them to, you know, just say, hold on, don't, you know, jump ship yet.
Yeah, that's all we play the games, right? We're 0-3. We don't want to be 0-3, but that's the matter of the fact. That's where we are now, right? We have to go out. We have to play better. So for our fans, just continue to support us if you want to. Yeah, I know how everybody gets riled, everybody gets upset. You know, you should win every game. I get it. We're trying to win every game. We're working hard. We're doing our best. We just got to go play better to make sure we give our fans something to be proud of.
Thank you, guys.
There's D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Houston Texans. So there you go, especially when it comes to the TV broadcast and him yelling. He cleared that up. And I wouldn't want to say, I 100% believe him that he was like yelling at the refs, like trying to get that tempo, trying to make sure that stopped from going up tempo when they didn't make any substitutions. Which honestly, if you look at the way that this team has played either this week or really thus far in the season, the few times where they've looked good is like 2-minute offense and when they've gone tempo. So I can understand a visceral frustration if you're like, yo, we're trying to get there and we're being stopped not by ourselves but by the refs holding us up.
I don't know. I don't know if I certainly don't 100% believe him. I'm not saying he's necessarily not telling the truth. I'd like to see the All-11, see where the referee was standing, because he was turned directly to the sideline. Now, there is a line judge there, so it could have been the referee. Could have been Nick Cayley.
TV broadcast ain't helping seem like that.
Right.
They showed Cayley. They showed D'Amico Ryans.
He wasn't directed toward the field. Now, I know there's oftentimes an official standing right there, so it could have been an official. Could have been Cayley. I can't sit here and say, oh, yeah, well, I believe him 100%. I mean, they're
I kind of believe him.
I kind of do.
All right, if you had to put a percentage on it, since you're not going with 100, and I understand why
you
would.
You understand what I'm saying.
No, I do.
Like, he turned, like, directly to the side.
Sure, but we don't know.
There could have been a referee between him and Nick Cayley, but I know Nick Cayley was there.
Immediately to his side?
To his left.
I'm actually not sure exactly how close they are.
No, I know that because they showed it on the television, just the television view, that he was turning there and then Nick Cayley and then back to...
Yeah, but those cuts are different shots.
I mean, unless they're conspiring to create a controversy.
I see you, CBS. I see you trying to pull us apart.
You know, that would be you know, really bad for CBS to have Nick Cayley standing on his right and they're making it seem like it was on left.
I think they just made a cut, and we kind of took that jump. Yeah. And also, I think, really, when he goes, I'm too cool to do that, and I understand that's made some people mad here on the text line. Can't blame you for that. But I do think that it does fit his MO to not be somebody who is a hollerer at his guys, mm-hmm. to be fair.
Yeah, and I feel like something bad would have had to happen on offense for him to really be screaming.
Well, something
bad
was happening. Something bad was happening a lot.
There is a lot more to discuss when it comes to what D'Amico Ryans just said in that presser. We'll try and do some of that as we continue on. But coming up next, let's get into what's popping. Maybe some of that, maybe some of the weekend that was with the Astros and more. We'll do that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.